Chapter 10. Web Weaving. "The surface," the excited Drow scout reported when he returned to his commanders. The strange-looking warrior standing beside High Priestess Manolin Faye Bayenri gave a grating and guttural, almost feral growl. He was large and muscular, particularly for a Drow man, with his white hair spiked like the plume of a war crown along the middle of his otherwise shaved pate. A mithril ring hung from his nose, gold pins had been shoved through his cheeks, and he had painted garish white rings about his eyes. For all his outlandish eccentricities, though, no one glancing upon this warrior would think him anything but formidable. He wore black plate mail, fitted perfectly, and carried a magnificent trident in one hand, with a net awaiting his grasp on his right hip. "He is trying too hard to be Uthagentil," the priestess Sarabel Zorlaren Dawerden whispered to her wizard brother, Ravel, nodding her chin toward the unusual warrior, Malagdoral Armgo. "Warriors try too hard at everything," Ravel replied. "That is why they usually and thankfully die young." Malagdoral looked over at the siblings then and growled again, and Ravel winked at him, drawing a slap from Sarabel. "Fool," she whispered. Then shielding one hand and using her fingers to sign at him in the silent Drow code, she added, "He is Matron Mesbaris' favored grandson. She sees her beloved, lost Uthagentil, in Malagdoral." "She sees her lover and her grandson?" Ravel silently responded, his face crinkling in disgust. "Not like that," Sarabel reflexively replied. But in truth, she wasn't so sure of her claim. In the silent code, she added, "Look at his hands. He even wears Matron Mesbaris' gloves, making him even stronger."
"Did you see anyone to kill?"
Malagdoral asked the scout as he stepped a bit in front of the Bayenri High Priestess. "Elves?" "Know your place," Manolin Faye scolded, shifting to stand a bit ahead of the uppity male. To the scout, she added, "You may answer." "There was only silence," he said. "We have found nothing alive, not a bird, not an elf." Malagdoral growled. Ravel snorted and flashed. "I hope the ugly fool dies quickly. Perhaps I'll aid the first elf we see." Sarabel elbowed him. "Do not discount the great honor Matron Mother Bayenri bestowed upon us by ranking us as under-commanders of the scouting group, with only her own High Priestess and the weapon master of the second house above us." "Interesting, two spells for us to become the commanders," said Ravel's fingers. "One if I aim cleverly." Sarabel tried not to giggle at her irascible brother's incessant joking. At least, she hoped it was just that. But she knew that with Ravel, she could never be certain. She led the way to join the other leaders of the party. "We go out to see what we might learn under the land that has no ceiling," Manolin Faye Bayenri told the assembled group. "Spread the word among your underlings." Malagdoral and the four under-commanders all nodded their assent. When Ravel turned to go, Sarabel took him by the arm and held him back, directing his gaze to the other two who shared their rank in this group, Kelfane Mizrim and Kront Labar. It did not escape Sarabel's notice that these latter two under-commanders were the patrons of their respective houses, the third and fourth ranked in the city, nor that both of those houses had been bitter rivals of House Zorlaren, an enmity that had not likely ebbed now that Matron Xerath and her family had assumed the surname of Dawerden. The Zorlarens had stood as the city's third house before abdicating their seat at the ruling council in order to strike out and claim this very area as a satellite city for Menzo Berenzon. Much had changed for House Zorlaren after the disaster within Gontalgrim, when the Delzoon dwarves had pushed them out, but Sarabel doubted that those changes, including the elimination of House Zorlaren altogether and the reincorporation of House Dawerden, though lower in the rank than Zorlaren had been, had done much to lessen the rivalries. Now on this grand march of Menzo Berenzon, considered the most important one of the era by Matron Mother Quenthel Bayenri, the matrons of those third and fourth houses were hedging their bets clearly. They had sent the patrons, two men eminently replaceable, instead of their more valuable house wizards or weapon masters or high priestesses. The matrons of houses Mizrim and Faint Labar had kept their true power close at hand, back within the safety of the main battle group. What did it mean, Sarabel wondered? Anything? Matron Mesbaris Armgo, no friend of either the Zorlarans or the Baenris, had sent her valued weapon master. But Sarabel had considered that a reflection of Mesbaris's desire to see Malagdoral elevated to rival the legend of Uthagentil. Matron Mesbaris could never see her grandson to such glory if she shielded him from dangerous missions. And so she would not protect him. Nor did Mesbaris herself need the protection of Malagdoral, surely, with the vast resources of House Barriss and Delarmgo surrounding her. Matron Mother Baenri had sent a high priestess, but she had little choice if she wanted to ensure complete control of the scouting party. And it was merely Manolin Fay, after all, who had joined House Baenri only because she had married Gromph and birthed a very important daughter. A daughter who was likely in this very region, working against them all, Sarabel thought. She kept that dangerous notion very private. Still, she could not shake the feeling that this was an odd collection on an odd expedition, whatever it might be. Matron Mother Quenthel Baenri was pulling the strings here, but did anyone know what the puppeteer had planned? "We are not to engage," Manolin Fay was saying when the priestess turned her attention back to the parley. "We are not to strike at anything we see, not human, not dwarf, not even elf. And surely, neither drow nor demon unless we are attacked. We are here to learn, not to fight. You have all been warned." It seemed to Sarabel that Manolin Fay was aiming that warning of patience and temperance at one person in particular, and if anyone needed such a warning, it was Malagdoral Armgo. Twilight had fallen across the land by the time the full scouting party had reached the entrance to the surface world. That was a good thing, as few among the ranks had ever seen the surface, and the eyes of a drow did not easily adapt to the glare of the fiery orb that haunted the overworld of Toril through half of each day. They moved into their traveling formations with exceptional precision, for even though these hunters had come from a myriad of drow houses, and few had ever fought beside the particular drow forming about them, the children of Menzo Berenzon shared martial training and knew their place in a small group, and knew the place of their small group in the larger formation. Silent as shadows, they filtered through the deepening gloom, leapfrogging the point position in systemic order, some climbing trees as easily as squirrels to gain a wider view of the area before them. They moved north for a short while before turning back to the west, then slowed as one when a treetop scout reported activity a short distance ahead. Drow hands flashed signals to cover and defend, when the lead scouts came rushing back to signal the approach of some unknown entities. On first glance at the large shadows moving through the trees far ahead, Sarabel thought them a horde of demons, but as they neared, as the rhythm of their scrabbling legs took on a familiar pattern, she, and those around her, came to know the truth. She glanced over at Manolin Fay, who crouched with Malagdoral behind a low berm to her right. The Baenri priestess flashed the name, "Driders." Sarabel wasn't surprised. Matron Jindia Malarn was up here, and it was well known that she kept many driders in her house, and that she quite enjoyed inflicting that ultimate punishment on heretics. The identification moved through the drow ranks, but before no more than half had seen the signals, the opposition force became evident, a host of the giant, half-spider, half-drow creatures pushing through the underbrush, revealing themselves fearlessly in all their horrid glory. Whether the apparent leader, a gigantic brute with fiery red eyes and web-like braids in her long hair, knew the identity of those before her or not wasn't clear, but she acted as one would expect of a drider. She hurled a heavy spear at the berm. It skipped off the top between the two leaders, only narrowly missing both. Manolin Fay reacted with her voice, commanding the beast to halt, but Malagdoral predictably wasn't satisfied with that. "With me," he roared, coming up over the berm. A second spear flew at him from farther to his right, but he spun around it deftly, completing the circle in a straight charge at the gigantic central drider. Clicks of drow hand crossbows sounded, a swarm of darts striking out. Apparently caught up in the excitement of the moment, Ravel jumped up and began a spell, but Sarabel jumped up beside him and slapped his motioning hands aside. She and Manolin Fay began shouting then, at driders and at their own drow, calling a halt to the fight.
dare you desecrate gifts to Lolth?" Sarabelle yelled at her fellow drow, for the Drider abominations were considered exactly that. "Dare you challenge the priestesses of Lolth?" Manolin Fay yelled at the Driders. Most of the would-be combatants, both Drider and Drow, eased back, but not Melagdoril and not the behemoth before him. In charged the Drow weapon master and upreared the Drider, her front two chitinous legs kicking at him. The Drider matched the Drow's trident with a larger one of her own and thrust down powerfully as she dove forward in pursuit, as Melagdoril fell back from the kicking legs. Melagdoril took a wide-handed grip on his black trident and presented it diagonally before and above him, catching the descending trident between the tines. It seemed ridiculous to Sarabelle and the other onlookers, who expected the drow to be crushed beneath the powerful press of the much larger and obviously well-leveraged Drider. But to her astonishment and to the gasps of many others, the weapon master of House Barrison del Armgo caught that descending trident and the full weight of the monster coming down behind it, and held them there. With a roar of utter defiance and denial, Melagdoril spun to his right and forward, turning the Drider's trident above him and not releasing it until he was too far under the beast for her to bring the weapon to bear. Like a spider, the Drider jumped, straight up, barely avoiding Melagdoril's attempt to impale her abdomen. She landed to the side, turning in her short flight, spinning her trident back to the ready and rushing at the drow even as it landed. And fierce Melagdoril did not shy away, charging back in eagerly. A ball of flame appeared in the air before the approaching combatants, roiling for just an eye blink before shooting down a line of divine fire, causing both Drider and Drow to skid to an abrupt stop. Manolin Fay came over the berm fearlessly, striding forward with long and determined steps, her robes, those fitting a high priestess of good standing and the grace of Lady Lolth, flowing around her. Sarabelle's jaw dropped open in surprise. She had known this woman when she was Manolin Fay Branch, first priestess of House Fay Branch, which was widely considered the least of the ruling houses, and not even as strong as most of the houses ranked from 9th to 20th. Only the long and storied history of House Fay Branch, along with a tight alliance with House Bayenry, had kept Matron Burton Fay on the ruling council. That Manolin Fay, the one Sarabelle had known, the one whose only claim to station was as Matron Beerton's eldest daughter, had been the butt of many jokes among the other women aspiring to attain the rank of High Priestess. But this Manolin Fay, Manolin Fay Bayenry, seemed much more self-assured indeed and much more powerful in every action. What a wonder to be a member of the Bayenry nobles, Sarabelle thought, with more than a bit of envy. She grabbed her brother by the arm and tugged him behind her as she hustled to catch up to Manolin Fay, determined that House Dewarden, nay, House Zor-Lauren, would be properly represented. "Who are you, abomination who dares to attack a disciple of Lady Lolth?" Manolin Fay demanded.
"We did not know," the Drider croaked, easing away a bit, clearly intimidated. "Who are you?"
"I am Malfouche."
"Malfouche?"
"Yes, priestess," she replied.
"What kind of name is that?" Manolin Fay demanded. At that moment, Kront Labar ran up to Manolin Fay and whispered something in her ear, and the drow priestess seemed to sway for just a moment before composing herself. Sarabelle cast a questioning glance at the patron of House Fayent Labar, but the man just shook his head and stepped back.
"Malfouche of what house?" Manolin Fay asked, a question that set Sarabelle back on her heels. These were obviously Jindia's Driders, were they not?
"I do not know the Drider Malfouche among Matron Jindia's troop." Sarabelle didn't understand. Why would Manolin Fay know any of the Driders of the Malarney? Why would she bother to hear their names? "What house?" Manolin Fay insisted. The Drider's face twisted as if she was in pain.
"It was long ago,"
the abomination started to reply, then halted, shaking her head.
"It wasn't Malfouche, then, priestess. Mala Vozelle, I think."
"Mala Vozelle?"
"Lady, priestess, I do not know."
"Mala Vozelle of what house?"
"Us Amvas Tol," the Drider said, summoning some pride.
Manolin Fay turned a confused look to Sarabelle, who could only shrug.
for she had never heard of such a house in Menzo Berenzon.
"It was a long time ago, priestess," the Drider explained, "in the time of the birth of the City of Spiders. My house did not survive."
Sarabelle and Manolin Fay exchanged another confused look, but Sarabelle nodded her acceptance of the claim. Malavoiselle was an almost unheard-of drow name now, but long ago it was much more common. Still, Driders did not live for millennia.
"Why are you here?" Manolin Fay demanded.
"I do not know why the great Queen of Spiders released us back into this world, priestess."
"You were in the Abyss?"
Sarabelle asked, then bit it back and bowed to Manolin Fay for speaking out of turn. The Bayenri priestess didn't seem concerned, however, for that was the obvious question.
"Serving, yes. We all were."
"But why then have you come? Why are you here, Malfouche?"
Manolin Fay reiterated.
"We are tasked with clearing the wood and the hills of all enemies."
"And we are your enemies?"
the Bayenri priestess asked with obvious incredulity.
"We did not know, priestess. We did not expect to see children of Lady Loth. Who are you and why have you come? I must tell my matron, Jindia."
Sarabelle swallowed hard at the mention of the matron of House Malarn, and for a moment she thought they might be in big trouble here.
"We are of Bregan d'Erth," Manolin Fay lied.
"Bregan d'Erth? I know not this house."
"It is not a house, but a scouting band available to all the matrons of Menzo Berenzon," Manolin Fay explained. "We collect information and give it to the ruling council."
The Drider seemed perplexed, but in the end simply shrugged.
"We have heard of trouble in the area and have come to see if the dwarves are exterminated, that Cusor Lauren can be given back to Matron Xerath as it should be," said Manolin Fay.
Sarabelle smiled at that, surprised by the Bayenri priestess's mental quickness and at the tribute she had just given to her beloved Matron Xerath. She looked to her brother, who was nodding, obviously impressed.
"Cusor Lauren? Of this, too, I know nothing."
"It does not matter," Manolin Fay assured the abomination.
"You should come and speak with—" Malfouche began.
"We cannot," Manolin Fay interrupted with a snort. "We have much to do. What do you know of the dwarves?"
"They fight stubbornly, but the demons are upon them. They cannot hold for long."
"Good. Now go back to Matron Jindia and tell her that many are watching her with interest."
The Drider had no choice but to comply. To disobey a drow priestess was something that had long ago been beaten out of poor Malavoiselle, probably long before she had been turned into a tormented abomination. To Sarabelle's surprise, as the Driders fell back and she turned toward Manolin Fay, the Bayenri priestess waved to her to be silent, then hustled her along, moving with the entire band back for the tunnels that would take them to the main drow force. It wasn't until they were well underground before Manolin Fay explained herself.
"Hundreds of them," she said, and Sarabelle's eyes widened.
"Hundreds of Driders?" Ravel asked.
"Many hundreds," Krontlabar replied. "They were all about us, flanked north and south, huge bands of the abominations, all superbly armed."
"Sent from the Abyss to serve Matron Jindia," said Manolin Fay, her voice thick with dread. "Released to her cause by Lady Loth." Why are we opposing her, Sarabelle thought, but wisely did not say, not to a Bayenri priestess at least.
"You should have destroyed them, all of them," Matron Mesbaris Armgo told the returning scout commanders.
"I tried, Matron,"
Melagdoril insisted, casting an angry side glance at Manolin Fay.
"I was prevented from killing the abominable leader."
"Silence, child," ordered Matron Mother Quenthal Bayenri, not taking her sharp gaze from Mesbaris's adored grandson, not even to offer a glance to Matron Mesbaris. "You are here only because I allow you to be here, and in this place, in this impromptu convening of the ruling council, it is not your place to speak."
Melagdoril moved as if to argue.
"At all," the matron mother warned. She turned to Manolin Fay, but then moved her gaze over Priestess Sarabelle.
"There were hundreds of them,"
Sarabel said, aiming the remark as much at Malak Doral as in response to the matron mother.
Driders from another age, explained Manolan Fay. Malfouche, who is Malavoselle Amvastol.
Quenthal silenced her with an upraised hand. The matron mother closed her eyes then and shut out the many whispered conversations occurring among the other matrons all about her. They were concerned, of course, and why would they not be? Matron Mother Quenthal, who had been given the gift of Evenel's own memories, fell into that dark place in her mind now, considering the name. She smiled as her thoughts flew back across the centuries, across the millennia, to the fledgling days of the City of Spiders. Oh, what a grand time, full of chaos but full of hope. The weapon master of House Amvastol, she said, and all conversation stopped, and all waited with bated breath.
A woman, Sarabel said before she could stop herself.
Quenthal and the others stared at her, but the matron mother nodded, and Sarabel took it as a signal that she should finish the thought.
Malavoselle, she said quietly.
Women were often weapon masters in the early days, Matron Mother Quenthal explained to them. We are the stronger sex, of course, and Lolth's divine gifts of magic were not then fully bestowed upon us. It was a different time. She was much like your own Uthagentel, Matron Mesbaris, Quenthal went on. A great and powerful warrior, fearless and clever, if I recall correctly. She would have had a promising future, had it not been for the sins of Matron Donada Amvas. Alas, Malavoselle was given as a gift to Lady Lolth, right before the heretical weeping matron's wet eyes. She looked at Mesbaris and smiled widely, then turned about, letting all the others see that grin before finally settling it on Malak Doral, whom she knew was becoming a bit of a troublemaker. Malavoselle was given over into abomination by my mother, Matron Mother Evenel, as one of her first acts after accepting the rule of the city by edict of the Spider Queen. She made of Malavoselle Amvastol a drider. Oftentimes it is a waste, particularly with promising but headstrong young women. Quenthal's smile only widened as Malak Doral shrank back.
Hundreds of driders? Matron Xerath asked.
Driders returned from the arms of Lolth herself? If this is true, must we assume that Matron Jindia is in the highest graces of the Spider Queen? If this is true, we must reconsider everything, Matron Mesbaris stated flatly. We could join with Matron Jindia and finish what she has started, returning Cusor Lauren to Matron Xerath and subsequently properly rewarding Matron Jindia for her foresight.
Properly rewarding, the matron mother echoed sarcastically.
Jindia would demand the title of matron mother if all that you assume is true, and any who sought to oppose that would fall from Lolth's favor, and so would be an enemy of us all, Mesbaris returned, a clear threat. But Quenthal only smiled again, even snorted, as if the whole thing was an absurd proposition.
Be at ease, matron, she answered Mesbaris's tightened face. To Manolan Fay, she asked, do they know who you are, or under what banner you march?
The priestess withered under the glare of the matrons.
I,
she stuttered, trying to find her way to best answer.
You are a Baenri, dear, the matron mother said. You were sent to lead the group because of that fact. You did well to hold back the impetuous Malak Doral. You likely saved the entire party, to say nothing of his family's reputation, and thus returned to serve proper warning. Speak freely. Do the Driders know your banner?
No, Manolan Fay replied, straightening herself and forcing strength into her voice. I told the Drider who called herself Malfouche that we were of Bregan d'Earth, scouting the land after reports of conflict. That caught all the matrons by surprise and incited many whispers, some nods, a couple of gasps, but most importantly, a wide smile from Matron Mother Quenthal.
Clever, Quenthal replied.
Now Matron Jindia will be chasing ghosts.
What do you know, Matron Mother? Mesbaris demanded.
Matron Jindia is no friend to Jarlaxle's band, Quenthal explained. She hates them above all others for what they did to her house and family. She herself was killed, albeit briefly, by Driz Doerten, and her favorite child, Yajin,
was murdered by Jarlaxle's other associate, the human, and in such a way that she could not be restored to life. Jarlaxle was with them in that raid, you remember. Matron Jindia will not forgive that, not ever. She will be quick to believe the story woven by High Priestess Manolin Faye Bayenri, because she desperately wants it to be true. Ms. Barris nodded, unable to argue the logic. Well done, Manolin Faye Bayenri, Matron Mother Quenthel said, emphasizing that surname, making it clear that Manolin Faye's quick thinking had brought them advantage, advantage that might have been naught but disaster if Matron Mes Barris's grandson had taken the lead and started a war. In any case, Matron Jindia will know of us soon enough, Matron Zirith put in, verbally and physically separating Mes Barris and Quenthel by gliding her magical disk in between them. We should plot our next march. Send only your finest scouts, Matron Mother Quenthel told Manolin Faye. Only the finest, and with them means to magically return to us if they become compromised. I'll not have Matron Jindia know of our arrival for as long as we can keep the secret. Even if she is in the grace of Lolth? Ms. Barris asked. Yes, Quenthel answered without hesitation. My scouts will tell you all regarding the lands above and about Gauntlegrim, Manolin assured them. Cusor Lauren, corrected Matron Zirith. She turned a stern gaze upon Matron Mother Quenthel. If Matron Jindia is in the good graces of the Spider Queen, if Lolth herself sanctions and aids in the march of House Malarn to turn this demon force against our enemies, why is there any doubt remaining or any hesitation? My wizards will open the deep door, and we should sweep through the dwarves, reclaiming Cusor Lauren for Menzo Baranzon, and snatching it right out from under Matron Jindia's grasp, that we might share in her glory. The dwarven forces are in the upper chambers battling demons. We can push through and take the place beneath them before they even realize that which has come against them. We will talk, was all that Quenthel would return, and she looked from Zirith to Mes Barris repeatedly, measuring them. Just we two. Mes Barris's expression had brightened at Zirith's remarks, but then darkened, Quenthel noted, unexpectedly so. Having the two powerful matrons conversing in private was not something the matron of House Armgo would want. Particularly since it was obvious to all that she, Mes Barris, would be the topic of that private conversation. Breaking the earth? Matron Jindia Malarn said, her voice a husky whisper, as if she were afraid that letting her voice get out of control would send her entire being out of control.
It is a scouting band, the Drider began.
I know what it is, you idiot, Jindia snapped, and Malfouche sucked in her breath. As she let it out, it was accompanied by a low hum that seemed to growl.
The priestess said Bregan de Earth, the Drider insisted.
Where are they?
Malfouche shrugged.
They left.
You let them leave? You did not even follow them?
I am not to question the words of a priestess, Matron Jindia.
My orders are above hers.
Of course, but I had no orders from Matron Jindia when I encountered the drow.
I told you to clear the forest.
Of drow? That is a different matter, Matron Jindia, Malfouche reminded. We are driders, serving penance for crimes against Lady Lolth. We cannot strike at the children of Lolth.
Unless I tell you to do so.
Yes, by your precise words, matron, but you had not told us to do so.
Jindia threw up her arms and issued a frustrated growl of her own.
Bregan de Earth is not allied with our cause. They oppose us in Luskan even now, you idiots.
Who was this priestess? Asked First Priestess Kiernal Malarn.
She did not offer her name, lady, said Malfouche, nor did the other priestess standing with her.
Two priestesses, Kiernal pressed.
At least, there were others wearing the robes among those many in the ranks.
Other women, Jindia said, catching on and following the reasoning.
Yes, and men, and a warrior of great strength who battled me trident to trident, until the priestess stood us down.
Zaknafe, Kiernal started a remark, but she paused. A trident,
Jindia asked. Tell me more about him, every detail.
Malfouche did as instructed, then was dismissed, leaving Jindia alone with Kurnal and Chari Hunsrin.
That had to be Malagdor Alarmgo, Kurnal said. They have sent a scouting party to look in on us and determine our progress, Chari said.
Just a scouting party? Matron Jindia asked, walking out a few steps and staring toward the east, where the encounter had taken place.
A scouting party all the way from Menzo Berenzon, with the weapon master of the city's second house? I cannot imagine that Matron Mesbaris would put her cherished Malagdor at such a risk as that.
Then what? Asked Chari.
They see that our victory is at hand, perhaps, said Jindia. They have rushed to steal my glory. She spun about to look sharply at the other two women. It will not be so.
Rein in your ambitions at this time, Matron Mother Quenthal told Matron Xerath when they were alone soon after the gathering with the scouting party. We know not how this will play.
We know not? Old Xerath scoffed. An army of driders? Hundreds? A horde of demons continually gating in more monsters daily from the abyss? The dwarves are doomed. The city of Luskin has already fallen. It is as you predicted back before we departed Menzo Berenzon. Matron Jindia will win.
If she is to win, then we must be a large part of it, Quenthal replied.
Indeed. So let us beat her to the prize and take the great forge of Gontalgrim and depose King Brunner with all haste and with no mercy.
But Quenthal Beanry shook her head.
If she is to win.
How can she not? Xerath asked. Quenthal was beginning to sort for those exact answers, but wasn't ready to explain further.
What is there then to know? Asked Xerath.
Everything. When all seems plain and clear, it cannot be. Have you not served Lolth, the Lady of Chaos, long enough to realize that? Do not be blinded by your ambition to return to Gontalgrim. That will not happen. Our position on the surface in any case is too compromised now. The lords of all the lands have no doubt turned their eyes to the northern reaches of the Sword Coast, with demons roaming free and Luskin in flames.
The flames will quiet quickly, and few have ever looked to Luskin for stability, and fewer still, by all of our scouting, have formed any real alliances with King Brunner.
Quenthal didn't disagree.
It does not matter, she replied.
We cannot be planning the return of Cusor Lauren at this time, whatever the outcome of Matron Jindia's war or our march. No matter how the will of Lolth plays out, neither of us can even think of sending your family back here. The dust will be long in settling here, and more importantly, in Menzo Berenzon.
You mean that you will need me there in Menzo Berenzon to support you against the rise of House Malarn, Xerath stated flatly.
Matron Mesbaris won't stand with you, of course, not if she believes Matron Jindia is in the highest graces of Lolth and sees a chance at long, long last to be rid of subjugation at the hands of House Beenri.
Subjugation? A curious word. Is it a notion Matron Xerath, whom I have rescued from shame and defeat, shares?
The old Xerath wasn't often shaken, or at least never showed it, but at that moment she nearly tumbled off her floating disk, her jaw hanging open.
Of course not, Quenthal said, taking the pressure off Xerath. You have ever been wise enough to see House Beanri as a benefit, and as the house that rewards its allies. You would do well to remember that, with every word going forward in this transitional time. No more mention of Cusor Lauren, even if King Brunner Battlehammer and all of his dwarves are obliterated, even if Gontalgrim is emptied of all living things, and the Great Forge remains there for the taking. Cusor Lauren is not to be mentioned.
Surely you would not leave such a treasure unused?
Surely, Quenthal replied. And surely the magical movement of wizards, of which you possess many of the finest, will be critical in our using it without drawing attention.
And without weakening your order in Menzo Berenzon, Xerath added.
Quenthal nodded.
So I will remain at House Dowerden, and you will secretly use my wizards to bring smiths to the forge of Gontalgrim?
And you will be well rewarded, Quenthal promised.
I wish to be elevated within the ruling council,
I want my place back, and with an eye, always an eye, to becoming the penultimate house of Menzo Berenzon."
Quenthal gave only a slight nod in reply.
"Assure me that House Sor-Lauren will not be taken for granted when the victory here is secured, and House Baenri holds its position," Xerath demanded.
Quenthal paused, forcing herself to remain tactful in the face of a demand from another matron.
"House Dowerden," she corrected, "until I determine otherwise."
"Of course," Xerath agreed, but not without a clench of her jaw as if the name itself insulted her.
"We will see how it plays. But your house remains my most important ally," said Quenthal. "I assure you that I will not forget should it come to that."
"Can there be any doubt?"
"We worship Lolth, the Lady of Chaos, dear Matron Xerath. There is always doubt."
Matron Xerath Dowerden gave a helpless snort at that, then wheeled her magical disk out of the extra-dimensional chamber the Matron Mother was using as her audience hall. No sooner had Xerath departed than First Priestess Sosumtu and Quenthal's daughter, Mirinel, entered through another magical portal.
"I do not trust her," Mirinel said. "Her ambition is greater than her loyalty."
"Then she is a fine matron," Sosumtu said.
"Her daughter, the priestess Sarabel, would be more easily persuaded and held in thrall," Mirinel said bluntly. "Matron Xerath is old and too endeared to..."
She stopped and cast an awkward glance at her mother.
"To Matron Mother Evanel the Eternal," Quenthal finished for her.
Mirinel sucked in her breath.
"It is good and honest reasoning," said Quenthal, calming the woman. "But do not speak of such things yet."
Her tone made it clear that she wasn't scolding Mirinel as much as warning her not to get too far ahead of herself. Depending on how things up here fell, Quenthal knew that Xerath might have to be replaced. She hoped it wouldn't come to that, but she reminded herself often that Xerath was old, very old, and though she remained an ally of House Baenri, her real loyalty was indeed to Matron Mother Evanel. And no matter how Matron Xerath tried to parse her words, ever were they filled with a level of condescension toward Evanel's daughters. Xerath had known Quenthal and Sosumtu since their youngest days. Indeed, she had been Sosumtu's first tutor.
"At least Matron Vidalma Tlabar will not abandon us, no matter the outcome here," Sosumtu said. "She rebuffed Matron Jindia on this very quest, and thus does she know that ever vicious Matron Jindia will show her no mercy if she claims victory."
"Nor will House Fay Branch abandon us," Mirinel added. "Matron Biren knows that without House Baenri, her seat on the ruling council would be given to another, almost surely to House Hunsrin if Matron Jindia."
"Do you think they matter?" Matron Mother Quenthal cut her short. "Either of them. If Matron Jindia leaves here as the ultimate victor, she will find powerful allies, including Matron Mesbaris."
"Matron Xerath is no friend to the Malarni or to the Armgos," said Mirinel.
"But both Matron Xerath and Mesbaris understand well that their ambitions are forever stunted as long as House Baenri rules," Sosumtu said.
"And that has been the truth since the days when Menzo Berenzon was very young, and Baenri's reign will not end when I am Matron Mother," Quenthal declared. The other two nodded.
"Matron Jindia cannot win here," Quenthal decided.
"Then we take the Dwarven stronghold before she can get through?" asked Mirinel.
"Maybe not," the Matron Mother replied, thinking aloud, falling into the memories of Evanel the Eternal once more to find some answers.
"An army of Driders gifted from the Abyss?" Sosumtu replied doubtfully. "Two retrievers given to her by the handmaidens of Lolth?"
"Do you think you know the will of Lolth?" Matron Mother Quenthal asked slyly.
That gave Sosumtu pause, but Mirinel, so much less experienced, asked,
"Isn't it obvious?"
With a look to the Matron Mother, which elicited a nod from Quenthal, Sosumtu offered to young Mirinel the most basic understanding of the truth of the Lothian drow. "The only thing that is ever obvious from the Demon Queen of Spiders is, that which is obvious is not."